there is no doubt now that Chelsea are going to the Champions League final.
Sam Kerr, can she find a finish? Oh my word, it's wonderful. What a goal from Kerr. And the cup is Chelsea's now, surely.
This is Sophie Ingle. Oh, what a goal. That'll do it. 4-2 in extra time.
What's up, Blues fans? Brandon London here, and welcome to another very special episode of Chelsea Mic'd Up, the official Chelsea FC podcast. We wear the shield, and I'm coming to you from New York City, and it's like boys' day today. Go ahead, introduce yourself, guys.
Hey, I'm Andre, and I am in the DMV. Missing Emily today, but, you know, hockey calls.
It certainly does. Emily, good luck with everything. We'll catch up soon, I'm sure. I'm Lee. I'm here in London, working from home today.
Emily is, as you all know, works with the NHL and ESPN. Not only, Emily, good luck to you with everything that you're doing, but stay safe as well. We will see you on the next episode. But today, like I said, it's the Boys Club, and we're reviewing everything Chelsea that has happened in 2021 for the women's team. So, from winning all four domestic trophies to fans returning, and we're also going to discuss what does 2022 have in store for the Chelsea women. So, without further ado, let's go Blues!
Okay, let's do it, shall we? I mean, what a year it's been for Emma Hayes and the incredible, incredible Chelsea women. I mean, it hasn't ended as I guess they would have wanted, as the fans would have wanted. Obviously, we could dwell on the Wolfsburg game. We're not going to do that. Let's put that into context. Difficult circumstances, as Emma Hayes and some of the players have already discussed. But let's go back to what's been an absolutely amazing year for this phenomenal group of players. Four domestic trophies. We could talk FA Cups, we could talk Conti Cups. I know we're going to get into it, but obviously they started like a train, didn't they? Winning the Community Shield, setting things up perfectly. The league campaign was something very special, Andre, wasn't it? I mean, we've seen over the last couple of years that this WSL has become more and more competitive, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, that's one of the things with the WSL, and it's almost like Chelsea remains in the title mix, but we always get new challengers. Like, it was Arsenal for a bit, then it was Manchester City, now it's Arsenal again. Teams are just kind of building up with a ton of talent trying to, you know, get over Chelsea because we won it, what, three times in a row now. We won the WSL. So in 2021 was a really tight one. We had to put in a lot of really good performances toward the end to make sure we pick up the points. I remember late in the season in the league, it was Ann Katchenberger. I mean, some of the saves that she ended up making to make sure we collected the points we needed to, particularly in that City match. That was just an unreal performance. And honestly, you look back at it, in the moment, you try not to, you know, use too much hyperbole. You try to have perspective. But I think even looking back at it in hindsight, you can look at it and say some of those saves she made, particularly in that City match, those were title-winning saves. They legitimately let us lift the trophy again.
Absolutely. I mean, defensively strong. I wanted to talk about the goal scoring as well. I know we've touched on this before. And I was doing some basic maths before we started recording. From the start of the year, so from January through to the end of the season, this team scored 83 goals in 26 games in all competitions. Phenomenal.
Outrageous.
It's like being the Golden State Warriors of the WSL. You know, Frank Kirby's Steph Curry, Sam Kerr is Klay Thompson. You know, do you guys say, like, when we talk about identity in when it comes to different teams, would you say that the Chelsea women's team throughout the course of 2021 and WSL, throughout all the championships, the four domestic trophies, what would you say their identity is in the sense of the goal-scoring team or the defensive team?
I think Emma Hayes took that one. Like, she answered that question, ruthless. Honestly, that's the identity of the team. It's ruthless. If we don't want you to score, you're not going to score. That's just typically the way the team works. If we need to put in a defensive job, which we've needed to do, you know, leading up in the Champions League, we've needed to play some strong defensive games. And we've also needed to score goals. So it almost seems like what the team needs at the moment is what the team gets. Now, obviously, we say this, and Lee mentioned it up top, December, like, it just hasn't gone well on either side for the men or the women. But I don't want to dwell on that because you look at what the team accomplished. Lee mentioned it. A domestic quadruple. That is incredible to do in any level, particularly top level women's soccer, one of the best women's leagues on the planet. And even though the match didn't go the way we wanted it to go, getting to the Champions League final was huge, right? Like the loss and everything, the way it happened put a damper on it, but I don't think it should. I think looking back, you should see like this team and the path they had to take to get there. Getting into that was just incredible. It was great, like gutsy performances, like we mentioned, you know, scoring the goals when you need the goals, you know, the saves when you need to save, the defensive blocks, everything. That's why I say, like, you look at this team, and when they're fresh, when they're healthy, when they don't have, you know, the distractions that were kind of going on that led to some below average performances from what we've seen, the team is ruthless. And that's what I love to watch about them, because when they get a goal, they absolutely want to get another one as quick as they can. And then they want to get another one as quick as they can. So like the team, when they get going and they get on top of you, it can be so much fun to watch, but it almost feels terrible for the opposition on the pitch.
Hit the nail on the head when you talked about the Champions League and the journey and what it took to actually get there. And it was a phenomenal achievement. But in the run-up to beat Wolfsburg, the old enemy, in the fashion that they did, and then to take on Bayern Munich, another huge team, another giant in men's and women's football. Real statement performances, weren't they?
Sam Kerr. Kirby's continued to run. Can she work it to her? She has. Great first touch. And Kirby scores. She's free kick straight into the wall. She'll have a go again. It's crept in. Ji So-young just before half-time. Hardest free kick. Hardest header. Chelsea score. Kirby has done it, and there is no doubt now that Chelsea are going to the Champions League final.
Particularly the German teams, and particularly getting over Wolfsburg, that was kind of a big thing. If the history of Chelsea and Wolfsburg in the Champions League hasn't been great, Wolfsburg has knocked us out a number of times before we got by them, and unfortunately they did it again. For this season, that was a huge, huge moment, and you saw how much it meant to the team, and their reward was, okay, now go play Bayern Munich, who might be even better. And they did it, and they went and beat them and got into the final. So, like, to me, that was massive, and it was such a fun run to watch the team go to, such a fun run to watch them get to the final and you know, play the way they played in order to get there. With, again, this is in the middle of a season where they won every single domestic trophy. Like, all of that is just outrageous to me. The amount of games, the level of competitiveness in every single game, and how they rose to every single challenge. I mean, it's just an incredible, incredible 2021 into the 2020-2021 season.
You talk about rising to the challenge, and you talk about beating a super giant like Bayern. Before we beat them 4-1, remember April 25th, 2021, they beat us 2-1. And if you go back to August 8th, 2019, they beat us 5-0. So going into a game like that, you know, people are looking at it like that should have been an easy win for Bayern. Or you could be looking at it as a player wise, like it'll be an uphill battle. But to go out and still win 4-1 in the semi-final leg, that just goes to show ruthlessness, as Emma Hayes said.
I think so. And I think experience is key as well, isn't it? Because I know we had Pernilla Harder on the pod a couple of weeks back. And one of the standout moments for her was the performance, was the goal against Bayern. When you're able to lean on a player like Pernilla, who has been there and done it and played at this level over a number of years, that experience is absolutely priceless, isn't it? And the combinations on the field, you know, we've spoken about the chemistry between Pernilla and Sam Kerr and Frank Kirby. You can just see that the quality oozes out of every facet of this team. And when you add real world-class quality, as they did last year, with Sam Kerr, with Pernilla Harder, to name but two, Melanie Leupolz, the quality, the European pedigree that you add to an already top stellar squad, we're seeing the benefits, aren't we?
It's been a little unfortunate this season with Pernilla, you know, missing some time through injury, but you see that front three, and when it's full and when it's flowing, it's incredible. The first part of 2021, you saw the continuation and how devastating that Fran Kirby to Sam Kerr connection became. I mean, they became one name. They got themselves on the, like, what, Brangelina and Benifer thing. It was Kirby, right? That's what they were. So they became Kirby because it was just, they were just assisting one another left and right. And it was incredible to watch. And they still have that chemistry and going. They can't be stopped. And that's one of the fun things about the team, especially when the ball is turned over in midfield. Emma Hayes wants the team to look quickly, play forward, get the ball forward, and attack. In the realm of women's football, there are many, many great players, and it's hard to say, like, who's the best forward, who's the best striker, who's the best this or that. I think for the way that Emma Hayes wants this team to play, you cannot have two better players than Sam Kerr and Fran Kirby, because when they turn and run and they have a defense pedaling, backpedaling quickly with some panic, that is absolutely a position you do not want to be in. and they capitalize on it time after time after time. And it is so fun to watch. It's almost like, you know, I want to go back to that FA Cup final that we just had against Arsenal, right? That victory where we were just dominant and didn't even allow them a shot on goal.
Kerr's worked it onto Kirby. Oh, what a chance here for Frank Kirby. 1-0 Chelsea. It's Kerr, it's two. And she's got her goal this time. Sam Kerr, can she find a finish? Oh my word, it's wonderful. What a goal from Kerr. And the cup is Chelsea's now, surely. Chelsea are the FA Cup winners for 2021.
To me, that's the perfect encapsulation of what this team wants to do under Emma Hayes, right? They want to defend really, really well, cut off all your passing lanes. When you make a mistake, we punish you quickly. And we get into your box and we work out a shot on goal. And you could see then, but I've watched that match probably 3 or 4 times all the way through because it was so much fun. Seriously, Arsenal got to a point where they were scared to make a pass, a forward pass, because they just knew, like, if the ball gets turned over, they're going to be in our box taking a shot, and it might end up being another goal. They are in some sort of mode right now, and we can't cope with them. So to me, it's those kind of performances that makes this team so much fun to watch.
And I think the balance in midfield as well. I know we've spoken previously with regards to the men's team about the importance of the role of Jorginho, Kante, Kovacic. The balance that Melanie Leupolz and Sophie Ingle bring to the middle of that midfield is so key, isn't it, in the way that Emma Hayes is looking to play.
It's been great to see Melanie Leupolz come in. And basically, ever since she got there, she went straight into midfield. Like, key piece that we needed. We did the recruitment, ended up getting her, and she's been fantastic. She scored some outrageous goals, too. That's kind of the fun thing about everybody on this team, is that you give them a little bit of space, they can punish you from distance. And Melanie Leupolz is one of those players. Our two center backs, you know, Magda Eriksson and Millie Bright are two of those players. Guo Wrightson, who's playing left wing back, is one of those players. Mm. But yeah, to go back to Melanie Leupolz, I think she has just brought in such a much needed kind of just mobility and presence in the midfield, where she's always an outlet, but she always knows to pick her moments. She's like the true definition of a box-to-box midfielder. And you just really love that. I love seeing her game. She's so clever in her movements and where she goes, either to stop the opposition playing forward or to make herself an outlet. And she's getting so, so good at picking her moments to get forward and join the attack. She's already, this season, scored some really good goals in the box, by the way. So, like, she's adding dimensions to her game, and you love to see that.
If we're going to stay on the midfield, we got to shout out Ji-Soo-Yun as well.
Yes.
Oh. I'm very impressed with her passing, what she does with the ball, how she gets her through ball, just her level of play, her level of pace. I think she does a great job in that midfield. I never claim to be like, I know a lot about soccer and tactics and stuff, but I can watch. And when I watch, you can just see the different pace of different players. And like you guys said, the way this team gels together, I think, you know, we do have the best top three in the world. But I think it all starts with the midfield. And I think Ji-Soo-Yun has done a completely phenomenal job this year within the squad.
And let's not forget, they've dealt with some real adversity this year as well. I mean, we spoke about the silverware, rightly so, beating Bristol City to win the Conti Cup back in March. But losing Maren Mjelde in the way that they did just affected everybody. You could tell it after the game, the way that they celebrated or didn't, as the case may be. It really hit them hard because Maren, such a key player, such a key personality as well, such a popular member of that dressing room. And to a woman, they all dedicated that victory to Maren. So to get her back, I think, has been such a key thing this year. Obviously, they don't want to rush her back. It was a big, potentially career-ending injury. So to get her back is fantastic. And I think we're really going to reap the benefits of that come 2022, Andre.
The other thing with this team is how close they are, right? There's just, as a unit, how close they are. And you saw that even though they were dominating a final in fantastic fashion, right? They basically won that match within the first, like, 15, 20 minutes. I mean, it was just, again, ruthlessness in that match. But that injury really hit them hard. And it took a while for them to recover because they are so tight-knit. And then you also see, not to bring it back to, you know, the present bad times, but you hear the same thing in the locker room. Like, the players are struggling. They're unsettled. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's, you know, COVID is postponing games and players are testing positive and things. It's just unsettled. So you look at this team, and that's one thing that you love about it. It's human, right? It's so human. That's one thing I really love about this team, is that they are so human. And I think a lot of times we look at sports and we look at sports teams and we tend to kind of flatten them. They're two-dimensional. They play football or they do whatever they do on the television where we watch them. And then after that, it's done. this team, for me, the reason why I love them so much is because they are like they're three-dimensional. It feels like you can understand what's going on with this team when you watch them because they are such a tight-knit unit. But, you know, to get back to the football, I think you are absolutely correct. When Mary Mielda is back, you know, recovered from that injury, and thank God she is recovering well from that injury, I think you look at a player like that who's going to come in the first half of 2022. And then I also think Lauren James, we've seen her in spots come in, but I think we're going to see a lot more from her in 2022 because that is a really, really young, really, really exciting player who fits in well with this team and what they want to do. And there are a number of different places she could play as well. You can play her anywhere kind of across that forward line. You probably even, and if we continue with a 3-4-3, you could probably even against certain opposition player left wing back, and you have a completely different kind of player over on that side. So it'll be very interesting to see what Emma Hayes does once the players are closer to fit and then match fit, because that has kind of been the thing, recovering from injury, but then also getting to where you can play 90 minutes.
And I think that'll be huge going over all competitions for the 2021-22 Chelsea women's season. Out of 15 matches played, there's 6 women on the team that have played over 1,000 minutes. You know, with Millie Bright getting the most minutes at 1,341. And then you also have 2 that have played over 900 minutes, 1 over 800, 3 over 700 minutes. And that's in 15 matches. Look, I played in a men's soccer league of 35 plus. I played 3 games. I was ready to die. So I can only imagine what, like, I mean, obviously they're more fit and they're accustomed to it. But I'm not playing at that speed. You know, I'm not playing with domestic trophies on the line. So I think getting a Lauren James back, definitely be able to loosen up some of the time for some of the other players so people could be fresh or as fresh as possible in 2022 as well.
They're having a well-deserved break at the moment, some of it enforced because of COVID, as we know. But the fact that there is a chance to just sort of take a breath now and regroup and go again. And the way, and I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but you know full well that the way that the calendar year has ended will only serve to make this group even more hungry. And you look from a domestic perspective, it's an exciting resumption of this WSL campaign. You know, in January, we've obviously got the Conti Cup quarterfinal to look forward to as well now. But some of the games to look forward to, it all starts again with Spurs, and Spurs aren't going away, are they? Third in the WSL. So that Tottenham game on the 7th of January feels like a big game, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a really, really big game. And that's going to be one of those games that I know that, like, this December hasn't wrapped up the way the team wanted to. So then you get an immediate chance coming back from the break to say, all right, we're going to set the tone right for this, the next half of this season. And that's what I really expect them to do. And again, the word is ruthlessness. We will see. We will see what this team is coming out, how they look, how they're different, and how motivated they are in that match. But, you know, I kind of wanted to look back and kind of do what we did, you know, for when we reviewed like the men's match, right? We wanted to take a look and see, like, look at the year overall. You know, we've talked about the winning of the trophies and everything, but I think there are so many great performances and so many great goals, of course, throughout the year that we need to celebrate it. It's weird, right? Because it is like both teams are struggling right now a little bit in this December period, but both teams have accomplished so much, and particularly this women's team. Again, domestic treble, getting to a Champions League final, that is, I mean, that's about as good as you can do as a football club, right? But they would have won the final. It would have been, I mean, just like a perfect season, but they didn't, but they still got there, and that's still important. So particular standout moments, whether a performance, a goal, anything like that, a great win, a celebration, whatever it is, what was one of your standout moments from this women's team in 2021?
Seeing them win the league in the way that they did was key, was huge. To do it, that final game against Reading, I think it was strange. I remember speaking to, we were doing the match day Instagram live shows towards the end of last season. And I remember speaking to Fran Kirby as they were getting ready to take on her former team. And it just felt quite poignant, actually, talking to Fran ahead of that game, because it was such a big year for her personally, wasn't it? To come back following the pericarditis, which I know that we've spoken about in previous episodes. But for her to come back in the way that she did, to perform at the level that she did, I think was just phenomenal. For her to win so many personal accolades towards the end of last season was key. But to play such a huge role in helping her side win the WSL title. So not a specific game, But I think you have these stories, and we spoke about it before, didn't we, about the narrative of some of these stories and the story behind Fran, the comeback, the performances, the success. It's a Netflix special, Brandon.
This entire year for both clubs has been Netflix specials, but absolutely. I think I'm going to have to go with the FA Cup, and it's Sam Kerr with that lob.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I haven't played FIFA in a while, so I forgot how to shoot that lob. I would use the controller buttons, you know, to describe it. But like you said, disrespectful, ruthless, and it just goes to show why Emma Hayes has called her one of the most dominant players or the most dominant striker in the world. That's why that Kerr connection, that makes Emma Hayes purr. Just to see that actually done was just unreal for me. And after everything, because you guys really got me following Sam Kerr. You know, when we first started this podcast, I didn't know much about the Chelsea women, but on the first one, you guys are like, you got to go follow her on Instagram. So I've been following her on Instagram, seeing how cool she is. But just to see how she has that Kobe Mamba mentality in her, there's no moment too big to perform and to execute a goal like that in that moment. That right there just shows that she's got the it factor. And that right there had me jumping out my seat. So that had to be best goals I've ever seen, period, let alone this year, just period.
I'm going to go a little bit off book because I think we've talked a lot about the road to the Champions League. We talked about getting over Wolfsburg. You know, that 3-0 in the second leg was outrageous. You know, the 4-1 against Bayern was outrageous. You know, we had some very, very good performances. But I like rivalry matchups, and I love a time domestically when you can go against a rival and you can get them, you can hush them up, right? And especially if you do it in a very ruthless way, in a very hilarious way, I love that. So for me, it's the League Cup quarterfinal against Manchester City.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to how this match went.
It's fallen for loopholes and it's squeezed in. 1-0 Chelsea. This is Neve Charles. Oh, it's brilliant. Last action hero, it's a stunner from the sub, who's only been on the field a few minutes. 2-2 with a minute to play. That's right, hon, and it's in. Extra time lead. This is Sophie Inkle. Oh, what a goal, that'll do it. 4-2 in extra time. Sophie Inkle, not in this team for a goals and never has been. That's wonderful. What a goal. What a game and what a comeback. It's going to be 7 straight wins, surely, for this brilliant Chelsea team. And the holders are heading into the semi-finals.
This also doubles as my favorite goal of the season because Sophie Ingle, when she scores, it's a banger. Sophie Ingle scores an outrageous goal. Guro Wrighton sees her lining a shot up coming in from midfield. She was coming towards the box, and she just lays the ball off softly and perfectly and says, go ahead, crush this shot into the top corner, and she does. It is such a powerful shot. If the net wasn't there, that thing's in orbit. It's like following a satellite around Earth. She just absolutely crushed this ball. And it was one of my favorite goals because you could tell Manchester City's hopes completely drained after that. It was 4-2 in extra time, 105th minute. There was nothing they could do. Chelsea came back, scored 3 goals after the 88th minute in order to win this match 4-2. That's how you make a rival cry. And that's what I'm all about.
Well, you just made me want to switch my best goal to your goal, man. Like that was, I love it. I now you gave us homework.
Oh, I love that performance.
No, but
man,
that's the
so
best
good.
Part, man. Andre, I tip my hat to you, man, because when it comes to Chelsea women, you've got this passion, man, that's so infectious. If you say go do the homework and go look up the goal, I am going to go put my YouTube to work and go look up that goal. It's been a year. The athlete in me obviously just tips my hat to these women for not only their grit, but their success throughout this year, but the fan in me is excited for what's to come. And there's so many possibilities on this team because of the depth and the power that they have. And obviously they can take all the trophies again next year if they wanted to. So Lee, looking ahead, what's the Chelsea's women's goals for 2022? See what I did there?
Ooh. Love it. That's a question, isn't it? I mean, obviously, there's the disappointment of dropping out of the Champions League. There's no two ways about it. I guess it just reaffirms the desire to win everything that's possible and that's on the table domestically. It's going to be interesting, you know. Arsenal are now going to have to face Wolfsburg in the Champions League. So it'll be interesting to see what that does with regards to the dynamic at the top of the WSL table. I know we've got a lot of football to be played between now and then, but you can't look past that game. February the 13th, Chelsea against Arsenal at the top of the table is going to be huge. There's still only 4 points between these two teams with like 9 games gone. So it's an exciting league, as we've already touched upon earlier in the episode. But that is going to be something special, that game. Cannot wait for that, especially from a psychological perspective, having dismantled them in the way that they did in the FA Cup final not too long ago. That game could be crucial. But obviously, both teams, a lot of football, as I said, it's a bit of a cliche to say it, but a lot of football to be played between now and then. But that is a standout fixture in any season. But this year especially is going to be a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're going to get frustrated, annoyed, ready to bounce back Chelsea, right? That's kind of the thing, is they had that really great performance. And since then, things haven't gone as they wanted them to. And you're going to see, it's almost like a perfect time. If there is ever a time for this to happen, kind of now, because they get to kind of pause, they get to reflect, and they get to reset. And so the reset is going to be huge. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how the team comes back in 2022, use this time to shed and shake off all that negative stuff of everything that happened towards the end of the season, still focus and say, we're still in a lot of competitions. Domestically, we can still win everything. We know what it's going to require. And so we're going to go out there and do it. And this is a team that I think can absolutely do that. But I think this is important because, you know, I think context is important in terms of crashing out of the Champions League. It sucks. Plainly, it sucks. Didn't expect the game to go like that. Was hoping that you wouldn't be able to, you know, the goal differential wasn't going to come into play and all of that. Was hoping you were going to be one of those top two teams moving on. But this is the first time that Women's Champions League has done group stages. Didn't used to work like this before. And so the fact that this kind of happened was one of those things. It's just something new to adjust to. Chelsea, the way the team is set up, and when they're at their most ruthless, they have a set starting 11, right? Where that 11, to me, can beat anybody. Certainly domestically, internationally as well. Maybe not Barcelona, because they're very, 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 very good. But but they're still one of the top teams at their best. But now it's kind of like you need to find out that the team kind of needs to figure out how to cobble together certain players, other players that can come in and maybe do a job so that we can have more rotation and still pick up results. That's just a concept. That's just a byproduct of having a new format with this group stages, right? So I do think that the team is going to have to look at that in the summer. But in terms of 2022 and looking what they can do immediately, I'm really looking forward to that Spurs match. As you mentioned, that's the first one back. I think that's the first sign of you'll see how this team changes, how they're able to refocus and reset. But then obviously that Arsenal match is going to be huge. You get 3 points from that. And who knows, you know, how their other domestic matches go, certainly because they are still in Europe. And that's going to be difficult for them to continue to go through because they haven't been in a while. They haven't been in the Champions League in a bit. So this is going to be different for them. And they have a new coach this season. So you do expect or should expect them to not necessarily run the table straight to the title. They're going to have to contend with us. And as long as we keep the pressure on, we can get above them. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun title race. And Chelsea is going to have something they haven't had in a long time. Days to rest and recover. And I think that's very dangerous for a team like Chelsea.
Between rest and adversity, and like you said, the negativity, that could fuel a locker room right there. That within itself is the recipe for a team that is used to winning and is accustomed to winning to get their mojo back and to come back guns a-blazing, playing even better than what we even could. We could wildly imagine them play. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Chelsea Mic'd Up. Remember, you can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. Please go check that out. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend and tell a friend to tell your mama about the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. We want blue flags flying high across America. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all that, New Year's, all that. Get you some eggnog. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in the New Year's, and let's go Blues.